WildTalkRadio.com.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Good evening. Merry Christmas, infidels.
With your host...
So, Ahmed, you're trying to impersonate someone? I'm Santa Claus, dammit! I look just like him. I'm jolly. And I'm fat-ish. You're not fat. I am if I'm a supermodel. Screw you. That's funny. You're fat. Whatever your big fat tummy. It's over there, and up there. You don't look anything like Santa Claus.
Well, I sound just like him.
What?
I can do his laugh perfectly.
Really?
Yeah, you want to hear? Yeah, okay, here we go.
Lindsay Ward.
So, your disguise is this Christmas hat?
Don't say Christmas. It's a holiday hat.
Why can't I say Christmas?
You offend the other infidels.
You're afraid of offending people?
Yeah.
You're a terrorist. You kill people.
That's different.
What?
Killing folks is easy. Being politically correct is a pain in the ass.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Happy Hanukkah! Not. Dreidel, I made it out of dynamite.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ahmed, Santa goes, ho, ho, ho.
That's what I said.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun.
Everyone, welcome to Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and well, if you're listening to us, thank you so much for tuning in. It is our holiday special. If you get a quick second, check out our very fine sponsors, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBoot.com, because we love them, and they're amazing, and we have an amazing show for you tonight. Right?
I was waiting for the handyman part. You didn't even...
You're a handyman.
I'm not used to the... That was the Rack Extra intro. I'm not used to that on the show.
Doing something a little different. It's the Rack... You know, the Rack Jingle, the Rack?
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward.
This is what happens when the host completely botches the intro.
On all the social medias, come to gerwork.net, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com. Yes. Grumpy now. I'm going to sit in my corner and be grumpy.
You're a Grinch?
We'll be the Grinch tonight.
You know what? Don't make me call that little boy on you that had the Grinch arrested, okay?
Anyway. Hi, everybody. We're live. It's Jingle All the Rack. Hope you're all doing well out there.
I hope you have all your Christmas stuff done. If you celebrate it, I hope you're ready to go. If you don't celebrate Christmas, y'all only have 3 more days to put up with this crap, and then you're good till July, when it all starts coming back out again.
Pretty much, that's how that goes.
Pretty much, yeah. They start putting Christmas stuff out in July. Nothing is more awesome with Halloween than, you know, Santa.
Well, you know, it starts in July because it's Christmas in July.
I guess.
Well, that's how that thing goes.
We'll go with that.
That's how it goes. I'm not trying to mess with you. That is how it goes.
It is how it goes, so yeah. So,
what we got planned tonight?
Well, we have a semi-stack show for you tonight, other than it's just going to be fun because it's Jingle All the Rack. We've got a couple news items, some big news items, as a matter of fact, which we're going to jump into, brought to you by fine folks over at Gerwick.net. And then we are talking about The Clash. Yes, that's right. The Clash of the Champions a little bit later in the show. And, well, the issues that the Smack Dads have coming out of The Clash of the Champions and so much more. So, well, I say we just jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net. What do you say?
Sounds like a good idea. Where do we start?
All right. Well, we're going to start with the biggest news of the week, which is that rumors have been flying that Vince McMahon may be getting back into football.
This is the XFL!
That's right, y'all. The XFL is coming back, but not in the format that we know it of from the past. It's going to be called something completely different. It's going to be formatted, I believe, differently. Vince has actually formed his own separate company to do this, so it's not being done through WWE or with WWE money.
He's doing it personally. Alpha Entertainment is the name of the company. Vince McMahon today, or this week, sold 5% of his Class A stock. Was that right? Class A, I think it was?
It was like a mix of Class A and Class B.
Whatever it was. He sold 5% of that, ranging to $105 million, was it? $105 million. This will help him invest in a new professional football league that will be done by Alpha Entertainment and VKM Ventures. They're both the same company.
Because, of course, he named it Alpha Entertainment and VKM Ventures. Because
you know, it's Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Actually, I would have laughed if he did VKM Mafia.
Right.
Or VK Mafia.
The VK Mafia. Oh, you didn't know? Anyway, so Vince McMahon decided to sell his stock when it was at its highest. Let's be real, the WWE stock's been trending upward in the last 6 months, to a point where it's up over $30 a share, where for years it was in the low 20s. 18 to 22, it sat for a long time. It closed, that it dropped today a little bit, down to 30-something, because of the sale of the stock. But yes, Vince McMahon is going back into football. They have, his company has filed trademarks for the XFL. WWE currently is first in line for the trademarks. They have extensions filed on trademarks for the XFL that expire in January. And that's where we stand. Vince McMahon football, day by day, is becoming a reality. We sat here on Friday night after I read the rumor on Twitter, and I was like, no. But then it's like you read one thing, and then you read another, and then another. And it's like, wait, is this a thing? And it's like, this is a thing now. Becoming a real thing. So that's where we stand. Vince McMahon's getting back into football. There is a supposed press conference scheduled for January 25th, which is a Thursday, in one of WWE's hottest periods, you know, coming off of Raw 25 and, you know, 3 days before the Royal Rumble. Everyone's going to be talking about the WWE brand, you know?
Convenient, to say the least.
Now, Matt brings up Vince wanted to be Trump. No.
No, he doesn't.
He wants to be endorsed by Trump. Think about the piece it all together. Donald Trump is in wars with some of the things the NFL does about the protest. Vince McMahon can make up his own rules about protests, how everyone stand, and Trump will be happy. Guess what? Trump could endorse Vince McMahon's football.
See, I don't know if that's the smartest way to go.
No, it's probably not. But it's a scenario out there.
Oh, it's definitely a scenario out there, and I completely see Vince going for that, just because he is a staunch Republican, but he's, you know, he's got to see the resentment. He's got to see all the boycotts and everything else going on, and he's trying to do cash creates controversy, or controversy creates cash, yeah. There we go. But I just don't think that's going to play in his favor very, very well. And on top of it, it could do damage to WWE. And with their model now going more to a subscriber-based model rather than pay-per-view model, it could get interesting, depending on how this goes. So I can appreciate him wanting to go for Trump's endorsement in the sense that it would be controversial. I just don't think it would work.
Oh, I don't think it would work, but the time is right if you really think about it. There's a weak point in people's people are walking away from watching the NFL. So if you can provide them with an alternative, there's an opening right now, and Vince McMahon sees it. And whatever you say about Vince, he knows business. Whether his business decisions work out right that's beside the point, but he knows the timing to do things. When he brought in the XFL originally, the timing was right. They jumped the gun and weren't ready, but he had the instincts of trying to do something. It would have filled the gap. And he changed the NFL completely from a production standpoint. The NFL uses the XFL camera every single week. So Vince knows business. Does everything he does work? No, but it's out there. He tries it. I give him that much credit. It may not be the smartest decision, but he goes out there and he tries stuff. And in doing it a part of not with WWE leads to a lot of speculation of what is going on and what's Vince McMahon's future. They made it clear today that Vince McMahon is not stepping down in any capacity as the chairman and CEO of WWE. But it doesn't mean his responsibilities won't change going forward.
Yeah, they would almost have to if he's bringing another company to market and he's bringing another product to market, he would have to step away a little bit from WWE and allow those responsibilities to go to somebody else, maybe even his daughter and her husband, or possibly his son, or someone else within the company to just safeguard that and look over that for him while he gets Alpha Entertainment up and running.
And who knows who else is going to be part of this XFL thing. It could be anyone. Because Vince McMahon cannot fund this on his own. $100 million is not going to fund this project, but it's a good start. You know, he's going to need partners. Vince will never retire. Yeah, Vince is never going to retire.
Yeah, no, Vince will be at the wheel till the day he dies. They're going to have to carry him out fee first. But, I get the timing is right now, but he's still got to bring this to market. He's still got to get up and running, and that's going to take at least a year.
Yeah, and a lot is in flux with TV contracts, and, you know, everyone, what could be, Vince sees how technology goes. A lot of services are going digital right now, and they need content. You can provide digital content as the XFL on a streaming service is not a bad start. Say they make a deal with Facebook Watch. For example, they get in bed with Facebook, and the XFL is presented there. That's a start. Amazon Prime is now getting into live sports. You can make the deal there. ESPN is launching its own over-the-top. Like, they have had, you know, ESPN 3 and whatever, but they're going out of their way to launch a new service where they need content. That could be an opening. You know what I mean? There's a platform for anything these days.
Oh, I know. And they have their own network that they can air it on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it. Hey, you want to see whatever this version of the XFL is going to be called? Well, guess what? You can pay $9.99 a month and you can watch all the games that you want for $10 a month. And they could possibly work the deal with, you know, USA or whoever they're airing with that, hey, why don't you air like the first game on your network?
Right.
And let's go from there. And let's see how it goes. Let's see what the ratings do. And, you know, do all that.
NBC Sports Network, part of the NBC Universal family.
Yep.
It's always there. I just can't wait for John Cena to own an XFL team.
You think he's going to own an XFL team?
Well, you remember he sold his car for money? He had some expenses he needed to pay off? Like owning an XFL team? Huh? Huh? Huh?
He could. Or he could be having a very expensive wedding.
Huh? Huh? XFL team. Huh? Huh? He posted a photo of an XFL helmet earlier today. Huh? Huh? XFL owner John Cena. Huh? Huh?
Well, if John Cena's gonna own one, then Taker needs to own one.
Oh, I want all the wrestlers to own one. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing, actually, if all the wrestlers were owners. Like, you keep it in the family.
Right? Undertaker owns some team in Texas. Steve Austin owns one in California. The Rock owns one in Miami. John Cena owns one in Boston. You know, it works.
I'm fine with it. Utterly, utterly fine with this.
Right? It would be amazing. It would be what the XFL should have been when you had The Rock out there cutting promos. You actually give them stake as owners in these franchises? Just saying. Could work.
It could totally work.
Make it happen. XFL, WWE owners in the XFL. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Whoever the mole is out there listening to us. Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Sticking on WWE for just a second, the other big announcement this week, and we talked about this Monday, but I just wanted to cover it here because it's so groundbreaking and so awesome that I have to bring it up on every goddamn show because I've waited 20 years for it. And that is the Women's Royal Rumble. That's right. The women are getting their own match at this year's pay-per-view. I'm super excited. Everybody's super excited. There are a lot of questions about this, whether it's going to be 20 or 30, how long it's going to go, who's going to show up. There have been several women, including Trish Stratus, Michelle McCool, several others that have been throwing their names into the ring to try and see if they could get a spot in the Rumble. So this is very cool. So yay, go women, go. Keep breaking down barriers. And, sorry, do you want to say something?
No, keep going.
And to kind of stick on the barrier breakers, the glass shatterers, AJ Lee, her book might be turned into a TV series?
Yeah, it looks like they're working on turning into a TV series, according to her on Twitter, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
Now let's say something about the Rumble. A name to look out for, Caitlyn.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there. You heard it here, Caitlyn in the Rumble. Just throwing it out there. Anyway, yeah, so the AJ Lee book, that's cool. They're going to try to develop as a TV pilot, TV series. That's awesome. Don't know how it would turn out, but hey, good luck on her to get something like that done. That's amazing. It's awesome.
Right.
Nothing else really to add to that.
So moving on from there, let's do the Blaine Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
We have to give him credit where credit's due. This is an oldie, and it's already passed, but it came out today, so we have to give Brent his credit. Jinder Mahal for his shoulder.
Hashtag blame Brent.
This happened back in September. Jinder's fully healed, but he admitted to it today, so, well, Brent gets his credit. And then, well, last but certainly not least, it only took him, what, 3 years, 4 years to finally get the box shield set? Because, well, he took out Dean Ambrose.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He had a torn...
He had a high-grade triceps tendon injury.
There you go. Where they did exploratory surgery.
He tore some of the distal triceps tendons where it attaches to the forearm bone. He basically tore about 50% of his triceps tendon away from the bone. We repaired it back down to the bone where it tore off. The surgery was straightforward. We moved all the extra bursal tissue, all the extra swollen stuff around his elbow. Ambrose has begun physical therapy, starting with light range of motion exercise, and expected to leave Birmingham later today. So yesterday, it is unknown how long Dean Ambrose will be out of action.
It could be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to 4 to 6 months. Nobody knows how long it's going to take him to heal, but at this point, he's not expected in the Royal Rumble, and he's questionable for WrestleMania.
So, here's something to go back and think about. Remember all the chaos from tables, ladders, and chairs?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Kane picked him up, threw a chokeslam, and slammed him down to a table that didn't, you know, sort of break right?
Yeah.
And he landed on his elbow and it swelled up?
Yep.
I wonder what that was.
Right?
He's been wearing an elbow pad ever since that point.
Yeah, he's been kind of nursing it in the hope that he can, you know, just work through it, but sadly surgery was needed to repair it.
So that's something to look back to where it possibly could have happened. It fits the timeline.
It does fit the timeline. It does.
So before we go to break, because we're
we have one more story.
I know. I'll get to that story in a second. I want you to mention this other topic. Braun Strowman.
Oh, Jesus hell.
This is Jingle All the Rack, so might as well get something Christmassy in. Go.
Y'all, go to WWE.com after this show.
After the show.
And look for the Braun Strowman elf video. They have Braun Strowman running around as Buddy the Elf, reenacting the movie or scenes from the movie as only Braun Strowman can. It's magical. It's riveting. I lost my shit for 3 minutes today because it was just that funny. Like, it's epic. He's amazing. So if you haven't seen it, go to WWE.com after this show. Don't tune out during, because we don't like that, and watch Braun Strowman as Brawny the Elf.
So, sticking in that family, weighing in at a weight of 285 pounds, Bray Wyatt is going on the 205 Live Tour.
With Woken.
Yes!
Matt Hardy.
Bray Wyatt, 285 pounds. Main eventing a 205 Live Cruiserweight show.
I think we all know the reason why this is happening, why Bray and Matt are going on this tour. Number one is probably to work out their great war between each other. And number two is apparently the ticket sales for 205 Live were not doing that well for their live tours, so they needed a couple headliners just to throw on there to see they could boost the ticket sales. And they looked at Bray and Matt and they said, hey, you go on this tour, and they're like, okay, we're going to go on the tour.
Back in the day, Matt fact for you, Matt Hardy was a Cruiserweight champion.
He was. Bray Wyatt never was. I don't think Bray Wyatt ever was small enough to be a Cruiserweight. Maybe when he was like 16, but...
And even then, that may have been pushing it.
10. We'll go with 10. 10's conservative.
10 is conservative.
He's always been a bit thick.
You mean he's been a little bit husky?
Well, I was going to say thick, not husky.
We're not supposed to talk about husky?
We don't talk about that. That never happened. That was not a thing. He would never admit that. Admit to it if he had to.
Yes, he's very thick to be a cruiserweight whip.
Very, very thick. Adorably thick, but thick.
I want to see him do all the flippy floppies.
He would kill himself. He'll do his little back bend. That's all he'll do.
And his running senton?
His running senton. That's about as flippy as Bray Wyatt gets.
Can't wait for the big dive over the top rope on the purple ropes.
Oh, God. No. I don't want him to get flippy. Although I'm like legit scared when he and Matt finally do face each other, he's going to do something exceptionally stupid.
The first time they will meet, well, the second time because they've met already once overall, but when they have for a real match is at Madison Square Garden here in a few days. Just so we're aware where how the Great War is going to start.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Anyway. Anyway, moving on. So that does it for the news right here on Jingle All the Rack. So we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Clash of the Champions. We'll let you know who won and who lost and all the issues coming out of that and what trickled down into SmackDown. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. So, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal, Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop! For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity-thump, thump, thumpity-thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity-thump, thump, thumpity-thump, over the hills of snow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
Sparkle
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is TNA Superstar EC3, Unbeaten World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop.
And welcome back to Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Right to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com because they're awesome and they're amazing and we love them and you'll love them too. So check them out. And yes, it is the Christmas Spectacular. And well, we've got Christmas music. We had a little Christmas story in the news and we don't really have anything Christmassy for this segment, but we do have Clash of the Champions.
But before we get into Clash of the Champions, I want to mention something. Next week, it's Pop Goes the Rack live. I think it's the first time we're doing Pop Goes the Rack live, I think. Maybe we did it live last year. I forget. But for Pop Goes the Rack, we are doing Ask the Racks. We want your questions. You can tumble them to us. You can tweet us. You can Facebook them to us. You can email them to us. We want as off-the-wall type questions as you can think of because we want to do an off-the-wall segment. Does not have to be wrestling related. They can be. That is a you decision, not a we decision. But if you want to make them completely out there, it would make for a more interesting show. So if you have questions that are extremely out there, send them to us. If you got some wrestling questions, by all means, we'll answer your wrestling question. Yes. Yes, Whit, it is a challenge.
It is a challenge. So please, submit your questions. Tune in. And, well, if you ask a smart-ass question, expect a smart-ass answer. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. So think of some weird questions. We'll go off the wall because it's, you know, the end of the year. Well, we're not going to try to be serious next week. So more off the wall and strange, the better. We'll answer them on this show next week. We'll have wrestling stuff too, but we're going to try to do something just fun and lighthearted next week.
Yeah. It's like we don't really do anything serious for these shows. We don't really like to do anything serious for these shows, especially for Pop Goes the Rack. Just a fun little thing that we like to do. So yes, send us your questions. Submit them. We're happy to answer anything you guys ask. So send them in. Send as many as you want. We don't care. Because, well, we have had to split it up before where we've had two-parters.
Right. So, and that would be good for reasons.
Exactly.
So anyway, now we can get in the Clash of Champions.
Yes, so this was the SmackDown-only pay-per-view to close out the year for 2017, and it was an interesting show.
On the pre-show, it had Mojo Rawley versus Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder came out hot, Mojo beats on Ryder, Ryder made a comeback, and that's about it.
I mean, it was a good match, it was fine. That's all I really have to say about it, it was fine. Like, it was okay. I don't think anybody's really expecting a barn burner, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe. Possibly. Did you abandon me again? He abandoned me, y'all. So, we just have to, like, sit here and I have to stall and wait until he finally, you know, decides to come back whenever that is, because he left me in the middle.
Or he was taking a drink of water.
We just came back from break!
I'm not allowed to drink a drink of water as we're talking.
No!
It's not allowed. Anyway, Mojo won. No one cared. No one cared about this match. Did you care?
No.
Did anyone care about this match?
I think one person did.
I think it was Whit. I think Whit cared too much about this match.
Well, I mean, there was reasons.
Was there?
Mojo. He's not bad. It's just Mojo versus Zack Ryder. They put, like, no investment into this. Like, they split him up and that was it. And it's just like, okay, hey, now we're going to have you guys fight for 6 months because, you know,
reasons.
Why not?
So, there you go. She first calls me Grumpy Gills first, and now, you know, I can't give her crap, so anyway. Let's get into the main show, and what was a surprising opener, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Roode, go.
Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode is so glorious. Makes my little heart flutter. Dolph came out to his normal entrance, which was nothingness. The two had a good match. It was very, very, enjoyable. No complaints on my end.
Baron was there too.
Oh, right. Baron. I forgot about Baron.
He was the champion.
He was the champion. I don't know why, but it's like I did the same thing Sunday where I completely, utterly forgot about Baron. Like halfway through the match, I forgot he was in it. And then he showed up and I was like, oh, right. This is a three-way.
Yes, it was.
I feel horrible saying that because, you know, I like Baron Corbin. I just feel like they haven't been doing a lot with Baron. Because there for a while, he got kind of hot. And then they were like, yeah, okay, we're going to put the title on you. And then we're just not going to do it with you.
So was it me or was Bobby Roode over?
Bobby Roode was just a tad over, yes. Just a tad.
He was really over. But in the end, we have a new U.S. champion, what?
Yeah, the man that nobody thought was going to win, including us.
And the Vegas. Dolph. And the Vegas odds, or European odds, whatever they are.
Yeah, and the odds. Dolph Ziggler was, maybe still is, I don't know, we'll talk about it when we get to SmackDown, your U.S. champion. Or do we just want to talk about it now?
No, we'll get to it later.
Okay.
So yeah, Dolph Ziggler, U.S. champion. We had Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon having a private conversation in their office, but that wasn't private.
It's the fourth wall, it's private.
But they wanted to go somewhere private to talk.
They're in the office.
But Bryan wanted to go somewhere else private.
Just throw the
curtain. Just move the curtain around.
Yeah, just throw the curtain around, throw the camera out, you know? Mm-hmm. Just do something.
Also, Bryan's shirt was too big for him. He likes it more snug.
A little bit, yeah.
Then Baron wasn't happy about losing his belt.
No, Baron had a mad. He scared the backstage commentator lady.
Which was, what was her name?
I don't remember what her name was.
Kayla? Was it Kayla?
I think it was Kayla.
Or was it Dasha?
That might have been Dasha. Might have been. I don't know. I didn't catch her name and I don't remember her name. Sadly, sorry. But Baron scared the crap out of her. She looked very worried for a second. That was kind of the trend for the night, to scare the pretty female commentators. Mm-hmm.
Then we had the tag team titles. The Usos, The New Day, Rusev and Aiden English, and Benjamin and Gable. I got a question. Just like the opening match. I kind of think Rusev was over.
No.
And I kind of think as a result, Aiden English was over. Just call me crazy. I kind of think it was a thing.
Could have been.
The 12 days of Rusev got over too. Just pointing that out. Anyway, this was a weird match. Like, you had two different matches going on at one point in this match. With rust holds. It was weird. No?
Yeah, it was a little weird. Like, it was just a little strange.
Is Rusev a face now? No, he's technically a heel.
He's an over-face.
He's an over-heel.
Or, yeah, over-heel, I'm sorry. Over-heel.
Because Rusev Day is the thing. Trends. So trendy, someone made him shoes.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the match was fine. The finishes were good. Chad Gable's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He really, really, really is.
His power impressive when he deadlift German Big E. Yeah, that was pretty spectacular.
That was pretty spectacular.
But the super kick party broke out, and the Usos picked up the win and retained their belts. No real shock there?
No real shock. I mean, I think they saved the shock for the first match. But I mean, this was really good. This was really enjoyable. They mixed it up. They had a lot of fun together. So yeah, I can't complain about this.
We then moved to the women's title lumberjack match. To me, which is Charlotte and Natalya. This was not about the two women in the ring, but it was all about the women outside the ring. And it hurt this match.
This was, I feel like, a really... The lumberjack, whatever you want to call it, was a really poor choice of match for this. Because you only have 10 women on SmackDown. And so two of them are in the match, and then eight of them are at ringside, and you didn't have them spaced far enough around the ring, like they were all concentrated, obviously, on the hard camera side to make it look more filled out. That when they panned back, the entire one side of the ring was left empty. So it didn't look good to have only eight women out there as the Lumberjills. I think if you had them spread out a little bit more, it probably would have looked better. But just in terms of the way that when that first shot hit, it was like, oh, this is not good. But yeah, it was more about the Riot Squad. It was more about what was going on outside the ring versus what was going on in the ring. And I mean, it's Natty and Charlotte. We've seen it a bunch now, so it's not like there's going to be anything new or groundbreaking in it. But they still put on a really good match, and so it's kind of a shame that it had to play second fiddle to other things that are going on outside.
Carmella tried to cash in. Yeah, but that got broken up by the Riot Squad. Charlotte did a moonsault on everyone, and Charlotte countered a sharpshooter into the figure eight for the win. You know why it was so lopsided? They couldn't put them all together, the Lumberjacks?
Hmm.
You only had one babyface Lumberjack.
Yep.
Poor Naomi, the only babyface.
Pretty much.
So Charlotte retains. Afterwards, Natty cuts a promo saying, "She did nothing wrong." Says Charlotte used her family name to cut corners again. Huh? What? How? You lost. She didn't use her name to beat you, but whatevers. Natty says she carried the division for 10 years. Says the fans, we have disrespected her. She says the WWE Universe wants to turn their back on her, so she's now going to turn her back on us. She then left and cried. I was confused about the first part of this promo.
I think it was just a typical heel move on Natty's part, just to blame Charlotte and blame the family. And this was just all really very odd. I think a lot of people are wondering what's going on with Natty. Is she retiring? Is she quitting? Like, what is the deal with Natty? Because obviously, coming out of this, it wasn't again about the match. It was about Natty and what she's doing and her turning her back on the WWE Universe, supposedly. So there's a lot of questions about this. I don't know if it was the best thing for Natty, because again, it was just really confusing. Oh no, what?
Go read the chat room. I'm just reading the chat.
What? Lord. Somebody listened to the Rack Extra.
Or someone was told a question last night. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
If you want to learn more about Witt's comment in the chat room about Natty's lifestyle, go to the Rack Extra, available at Rack Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com. Ding.
Ding. Anyway, moving on.
Harper, Rowan, Bludgeon Brothers, against Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Breezango. Tyler Breeze has shorts.
Tyler Breeze does. He has little hot pants.
And they got killed.
The Beardy Children were magnificent. They were spectacular. I loved every second of this. It was truly thrilling. They were on the goddamn pay-per-view. And sadly, Breezango was dead. But Beardy Children. Beardy Children. And then after the match, we got more grunting and growling and grinding and Harper and Rowan stuff. But they were on the pay-per-view. I still find it slightly disturbing that Harper and Rowan has seemingly formed a more evil, no, not evil, evil's not the right word, more fanatical,
deadly
version of Bray Wyatt's cult. Like, they just reformed it. It's just way more deadly. Like, there is no implied murder with these two. It's just like right out there in front of your face kind of thing. With the hammers and then breaking the hammers and everything? Yeah, no. That's not implied. That's just they will straight up crush your skull with a hammer.
Imagine if these monsters were able to run wild in the Wyatt family, how devastating the Wyatt family was going to be.
Right? Right?
Just saying, you have all the elements.
I would agree that Bray was holding them back a little bit because the Witt's basically saying that Bray was the only thing keeping them from constant murder, and to be honest, he was holding them back a little bit. A little bit, I would agree with that, because it was the Wyatt family was all about Bray. You know, hence the Wyatt family. It wasn't the Harper family, it wasn't the Rowan family, it was the Wyatt family. So now you have the Bludgeon Brothers, who are doing their own thing. They formed their own version of the family, in quotations, and it's their version of the family, which, you know, again, with the Wyatts, it was always implied that they killed people. Bray's admitted that in interviews and such, that, you know, it was always implied that they were killers. Harper and Rowan, they're not implying anything. They're just putting it straight out there. And, you know, we always knew Harper and Rowan were excessively dangerous. So it's like, again, that's what made Bray so impressive, I think, originally, was that he had control of these two monsters in the family and he ran it. So it's like, oh God, what kind of person does Bray Wyatt have to be to, you know, control Harper and Rowan, right? And then eventually Strowman. So it's like, and I think that got lost over time, and that has gotten lost now that Bray's been on his own, but to see Harper and Rowan recover that and be able to leverage that and use that is spectacular.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we're going to move on.
Do we have to?
Yeah, why not?
But I want to talk about how magnificent the Bludgeon Brothers are, because they're magnificent.
All right, you can continue here. I'll go play Supercard. You can continue on.
But you don't get to... You have to sit here and talk about it with me.
I'm sitting here. What else can we say about the Bludgeon Brothers that you haven't already said?
I love them. I want to adopt them. They need a family.
Okay, if the Bludgeon Brothers are listening, Lindsay would like to adopt you. You can contact at rackradioshow.com. She will provide you information on how she would like to adopt you and all the things she would do to adopt you.
I'll give you a good home!
We good now?
Alright, who made the Katie Vick comment?
Who do you think?
Corner! Corner! Bad Brent. You go sit over there and think what you did. No, you cannot have cookies. I will send your new brothers after you.
They will bludgeon you in the corner.
They will bludgeon you in the corner. And not in the way you think! Anyway, moving on.
Oh, I can move on now?
Yes, you can move on now.
It was careers on the line, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn taking on Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan as the special guest referees.
Okay, this was a cluster and a half. I'm just going to come out and say it. Two referees in the ring, that was not a good idea. There were some bad choices made on this show. This was another one of them. I feel like they should have had someone be the referee and someone be the enforcer. And then you later reveal, like, you basically have Brian be the enforcer, Shane's the referee, and then something happens to Shane, and Ryan rips off his oversized shirt, and hey, look, he's got a ref shirt on underneath, and then he counts the finish. Because this was just convoluted as hell. You had the Smack Dads arguing in the middle of the match, which would have been fine. Again, if Brian was the enforcer, that still would have worked. But just the whole thing was just really just not okay.
So, here's something that happened in this matchup that we all need to be aware of. Daniel Bryan kind of took a bump. He kind of fell down and took a bump.
He did.
Return he did. Imminent. He is going to be cleared to wrestle. He took a bump. Kind of. He fell on to Shane McMahon. The internet went crazy. Oh my god, he took a bump. Relax, people. He did not actually take a bump. Anyway, the match was fine. Shinsuke went through a table. We had some RKOs. We had some Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon arguing whose side of the ring is who. In the end, Shane McMahon stops going for a three count. Fans are mad at it. Shane and Bryan argue, as you mentioned. And because of that, Bryan with the fast count, 1-2-3 on the schoolboy. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn still have jobs.
I mean, this was fine. It was a good match. It's just, again, it was just really, with the two Smack Dads, very convoluted. And I just, yeah. I feel like with everything going on with Bryan and with Shane and with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I'm not saying that the return is imminent, but everything is pointing to some kind of return.
By the way, the celebration on Talking Smack with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn doing champagne was amazing.
Was priceless. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I think WWE is acknowledging that Bryan is going to come out of his contract and he's going to go right back into the ring. There's nothing they can do to stop him. There's nothing anybody can do to stop... Ooh, fumble. It's down. So...
It was an incomplete pass.
But I feel like, you know, so WWE is acknowledging that fact that Bryan, when he retires, or when he's done with his WWE contract, he will get back in the ring. He will go right back to wrestling, and they can't stop him. So it's, at what point do you just acquiesce and you give him what he wants? With some kind of legal waiver or legal whatever that basically absolves them of any and all culpability if he gets back in the ring. And I think that's where they might be headed, is some deal may have been worked out where he gets to do at least one more match. I'm not saying that's fact, I'm speculating, but that's what this feels like. That's what this all feels like, is that eventually it's going to come down to Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon.
View of Wrestling Zone News with a Z reports, the Rock Radio Show host Lindsay Ward is confirming that Daniel Bryan will be returning to the ring this coming year at WrestleMania 34. Thank you.
I didn't say that.
Thanks to Views with Russell on ZoneWrestlingNetwork.net. Anyway, can we get to the main event?
Yes, we can get to the main event.
AJ and Jinder have been AJ retained. Thank you for joining us. This has been The Rack. No. No one cares about Jinder Mahal main event. No one cared about this match. Legit. I didn't care about this match. Was it an okay match? Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't anything entertaining, was it?
It was fine. It wasn't anything to really write home about. I felt like their last pairing was better.
Yeah, this one, we all knew the outcome. We all knew AJ Styles was retaining. We all knew the Singh brothers were going to be there. They played tug of war. It's a thing. It was there. Calf Crusher for the win. I don't know what I can say about this matchup other than it was there. It's Jinder Mahal. He should not be in the main events, but I've been saying that for 6 months. He shouldn't be in the main events. He's not a main event wrestler. He's a mid-carder. He wrestles a mid-card style. Simple as that. You want him to be a mid-card champion? Well, there's an opportunity that could arise very soon, which we'll talk about here in a minute, which would allow him to be such. But he's a mid-card guy, and that's where he should be. He should not be wrestling in 20-minute main event where his offense is boring and dull and doesn't excite a person. And the only reason he can get heat is because of the Singh brothers. And at some point, that act is going to grow stale. And guess what? We're getting really close.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I mean, it's like, he's done nothing really to evolve. He's still doing the same shtick he's been doing, which that's fine. That carries him forward. But like you said, at some point, it gets stale. And he's steadily reaching that point. And it's just like, okay, I want to see something different. I want to see a change. I want to see him do something new. And we're just not getting there. By the way, when they shoot his entrance, can they not do the Triple H all the way around on him? I'm serious.
Don't need to see the back?
I do not need to see the back. Or the back knee.
Or the front thing?
Or the cone nipples.
Or the cone nipples. He has cone nipples.
Like, I'm not trying to put the guy down, but it's just like, it's not a good look for him. It doesn't make him look impressive, because it's like, he's there, he's standing there, and it's like, you see the really broad back muscles, and then all you see are, like, dots all over his back. You can play connect dots on his back. So it's like, you know, I would say if his skin was clear, yeah, sure, go for it. Do it, because it's a really impressive physique. But it doesn't, by showing it, it doesn't help him with the rumors that he's juicing himself. Like, that does not help him at all. Because, as we know, one of the side effects is back knee. It could be natural. It could be 100% natural. People have acne everywhere. But it doesn't help him with the rumors at all.
Another side effect is cone nipples. Anyway, we both went 6-1. The 8-Ball went 5-2. And the video game went 2-5. The only match we lost was the U.S. title match.
Damn it.
Because of Dolph Ziggler.
Wait, so that means that we had a perfect pay-per-view.
What do you mean?
We lost one, and then everything else was fine, so it was a perfect pay-per-view. That's the perfect day. So it's a perfect pay-per-view.
Really? Really? Really?
What?
Okay. She's trying to use my logic.
It's your logic.
I know. All right, that's the pay-per-view. What's next?
Well, let's do SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to...
This week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
That was a big blow-up doll on the field.
That was a big blow-up doll on the field.
I don't know why there's a big dog on the field blown up.
Reasons.
So, anyway, we move on to SmackDown. The SmackDown Throwdown. This is Jingle on the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. One of the big things that happened on the show was the wrestling dads were still mad at each other.
Yeah, they haven't quite kissed and made up yet.
There's threatenings of firings, and Daniel Bryan was like, I was trying to protect you from you, and I don't want you to become Mr. McMahon. I want you to be Shane O'Mac.
And Shane's face kind of said it all. He's like, oh, okay.
Things got heated. We almost had a firing, but it's Daniel Bryan's show, and they still have respect for one another. Daniel Bryan also was confronted by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and he also threatened to fire them if they didn't stop acting as cocky as they were. Because reason. They lost in the main event to Shinsuke. It was Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Jinder Mahal. They lost to AJ, Shinsuke, and Randy Orton. Speaking of Randy Orton, his hair. What?
I'm not entirely sure why he's regrowing his hair. I'm a little worried.
Pretty much it.
He looks weird. He legit looks weird with hair.
Naomi laid the SmackDown on the Riot Squad in a promo.
She did. She really did. I was very proud.
The phrase chicken butts was being dropped, being chanted by the crowd as a result. And the Riot Squad lost. That was weird. I figured they would have kept them on a little bit of a winning streak.
Well, you get it out of the way early, and then that way you don't have to worry about it.
I guess
you do. You do it when it doesn't count, and then you move forward. I think they're trying to make the storyline between the Riot Squad and Paige's group, whatever the hell they're called.
Absolution.
Thank you. Some name like that. They're trying to separate them out because those storylines have been pretty much running concurrent. They've been using the same script with slightly different tweaks. And now I think they're trying to take them in a different direction. So
we'll see what happens there.
Or it could be they were just getting too good because the Riot Squad was better than Paige's group. So
could be that. So I'm going to say Rusev Day, Santa Claus, elves, gingerbread men, and pancakes. Go.
Oh my god, I love professional wrestlers so much. Their dedication to making complete and utter idiots out of themselves on television never ceases to amaze me, and I love it every time. You had New Day running around dressed as elves and reindeer and gingerbread men, respectively, carrying their pancakes, feeding them to people, which, by the way, I don't exactly understand the pancake thing. I feel like it's a waste of a perfectly good pancake, which I just cannot forgive. But if I get New Day pancake mix out of this, I'm going to be fine with that.
It just can't be $15 a box like cereal.
Oh, my lord. I want a box of Budio so bad, but I'm not paying $15 for cereal. I just, no. I have a line. That's my line. And then you had Rusev dressed up as Santa and Aiden English running around as a snowman. And they had a contest together. And they all wrestled like this, in costumes. I love them. I love them for doing this. Rusev was handing out Rusev Day t-shirts. At one point, New Day gets a hold of the bag, and they're throwing out New Day and Rusev t-shirts. And then they get Rusev's underwear, which was a little creepy and nasty and gross. I hope it wasn't used. It had Rusev Day written on the back.
And
that's all I remember.
The flapjack into the flapjacks?
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Right. I forgot. And, well, at one point in the match, Rusev and Aiden English get a hold of the flapjacks, and they proceed to cream the flapjacks, and then Aiden got his cherry popped on the flapjacks.
New Day with the victory. There you go. Anyway, other things that happened on SmackDown Live. Do you want to cover anywhere with that?
No, I'm good.
So Dolph Ziggler's championship celebration, he comes out and he replays all his previous championship victories. Some you kind of forget about.
Like a lot you forget about.
Like when he beat Kofi Kingston for his first U.S. title reign, he showed some IC title wins. He showed his world title win. And then Dolph Ziggler puts the belt down and leaves the belt in the middle of the ring, abandoning the belt. So the question remains, is Dolph Ziggler U.S. champion still?
Maybe. Possibly. I haven't seen any release, so it could be that Dolph is just better than the title.
I don't know. Is Vacant the champion? I'm not sure. Kind of wondering. Going to WWE.com and see if Dolph Ziggler is still listed as U.S. champion. Yes, Dolph Ziggler is still listed as U.S. champion. But, yeah, I was confused. I think it means he's dropped the belt. I don't know if this means we'll see him again anytime soon. I'm not really sure. But we'll find out.
We will find out.
But that was SmackDown in a nutshell.
That was SmackDown in a nutshell. So we're going to take our second
Oh, wait. One more thing. I forgot one more thing because I saw it in the notes. No bludgeon.
My Beardy Sons. I didn't get my Beardy Sons. I was very much upset. The magnificence was not there. How can I bask in the magnificence of Luke Harper and Eric Rowan when they're not even there? I demand answers, damn it. Where were they?
I don't know.
Find out.
We will.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said we will.
We will? All right. Well, we're going to find out. We'll see if we know anything after the break. So when we come back, we're going to have NXT and we'll be doing Tweet of the Week. You're listening to Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
Celebrate the most joyful time of the year with the most festive person on the entire Wild Talk Radio Network. Mr. Holiday himself, Lone Jobber.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my show! I'm Stubber Claus!
Decorate your trees. Light your candles. For 20 crazy days.
My matzah is amazing. And I gotta say, my challah makes the girls holla.
Join the keeper of the kippah, a.k.a. the maker of the matzah, a.k.a. the Kwanzaa King, a.k.a. Jobber Claus. For 20 days of Jobber, the starting December 12th, right here only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ho, ho, ho!
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
You better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good.
And welcome back to Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Ooh, that looks nasty. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Like I said, this is Jingle All the Rack. It's our holiday show. We've got some Christmassy type things going on. And you missed the news. You missed Clash at the Champions and SmackDown, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Biggie, my Rotten Pancakes review of Luke Harper on Damnation. 97%. Harper's beard hairs command the screen. The gravelly tone of his voice doesn't grate. Nay, it titillates. He has a good neck on him and is clearly comfortable on the top rope. Nude scene would push his grade to 100%. WWE tweeted out, the X Factors just walked in and they're showing Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan, and Becky Lynch tweets, and all the fans just walked out. Liv Morgan tweeted out, and every time you scream straight fire, we all cringe on the inside. And Becky replies, and every time you wrestle, in quotations, we all cringe on the outside. And she provides a gif of a really, really shoddy elbow from Liv Morgan as proof. Ouch. Finn Balor tweeted out, it may not mean nothing to y'all, but understand nothing was done for me, so I don't plan on stopping at all. I want this shit forever, man. Hashtag Balor Club forever. And Bray Wyatt responds going, are you quoting me? And Finn goes, where is Sister Abigail? Finbert. I feel like he needs a full name. Phineas Finbert Balor.
At least he's not a Godwin.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Mike Golick Jr. They say, never meet your heroes, but I just met a lady who'd been up 28 plus hours gambling and fell asleep at the table 5 times. She was lovely. Not Sports Center. Chicago Bears Christmas list. John Fox fired. An OC that knows what a pass is. Some wide receivers that wouldn't be backups at the YMCA. John Fox fired. John Fox fired. Guys that can stay healthy longer than 30 seconds. John Fox fired. And yeah, John Fox fired. Cleveland Browns Christmas list. An actual win, just like a real NFL team would have. More outstanding quarterback prospects to pass over for someone else. Beer and whiskey for Browns fans. A new coaching staff, a new owner. This one's lengthy. A new quarterback, running back, fullback, tight end, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, left end, defensive tackle, defense end, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, quarterback, safety, kicker, punter. Not mentioned is a left tackle. They're cool there.
They're good there? Oh, good.
For the Chargers, their Christmas list. Someone from Phil Rivers to throw to besides Keenan Allen and Marcus Peters. More games against Nathan Peterman. A logo the internet won't make fun of. People to stop calling them San Diego. Some fans that actually want to go to their games. Not SportsCenter. Conversation between the Bengals and Marvin Lewis about his future. Bengals, sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Marvin Lewis. I've decided to pursue other opportunities after the season. Well, we were actually in the middle of Marvin Lewis, I quit. Trinity. Never thought I'd say this, but Rusev looks cute. Rusev goes, cute girl. I'm hot as the sun. Just ask Lana. Oh, yeah. Modest also.
I love him so much.
Zelina Vega. My stepdad just said, Adam Cole, baby. Mother enters the house. Mommy's home, baby.
Wrestling families, y'all. Wrestling families.
Not SportsCenter. July 2018. Jesse James gets off the airplane, still holding a football thrown to him 6 months ago in week 7, just to make sure he caught it. Suddenly, he drops the ball. A ref walks in. After review, he did not complete the process. Therefore, it's an incomplete pass. Yeah, that's a thing. WWE tweeted out about the injury to Dean Ambrose. Cesaro goes, oh no, such sad news. I'm sorry to hear that. WWE, Sheamus, and I just held a minute of silence for poor Dean. Someone named Seth goes, I'm wondering how long Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson will last before one of them is out with an injury again. Scott Dawson, bro, such a fresh joke. I haven't heard anything like that in 4 months. I wonder what rigorous job you have that takes a toll on your body. Jimmy Corderas replies, typer's cramp. Scott Dawson goes, ha 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 ha, the worst injury he's ever had. Eric Young, well, Rusev Bowl, looks like they will need some goodwill ambassadors and team leaders. Let's meet up and talk about how we will be, how over we will be. Because there's a Nashville MLS team, I guess?
Yeah.
Rusev goes, let's meet WrestleMania 34, a match between, I'm kidding, let's hit up a Santa's Pub in Nashville for a beverage. They're making friends on Twitter now.
Oh, dear.
Ian Robinson, tweets, someone tweeted first. John tweeted about, Corey Graves and how awful he was. He goes, you're right. And despite my awfulness, my paychecks keep growing and clearing. Someone should do something about this. Ian tweeted how bad he is when his heel crap is just really bad. Corey Graves replied, getting paid to suck is greater than not getting paid to suck. I really liked you on MTV. Want me to get you a job? Yeah, apparently Ian Robinson was a former MTV guy. Taking shots, making friends, as you do. Ireland goes, No, I do not care about the date for the so-called royal wedding, because I reject all royalty and monarch systems except for the Burger King, who I would gladly die for. Burger King, our only royal decree, have it your way. That was nice of them.
Most nice of them.
James Ellsworth, a lady stopped her car in the middle of traffic at a red light to come get a selfie with me, who was a car over. I thought I was getting robbed. Elias, talk about WWE Philly, I'm coming for you. Lars Sullivan goes, not if I have anything to do with it. If I see you in Philly, you can damn well bet I will take you out. I don't care if I see you backstage at the hotel in a dark alley. You will be taken out.
I would run.
Run, Elias. Or drift, Elias. Drift.
Drift away, Elias. Drift away.
Drift far, far. Far away.
Drift right into Bailey's arms. She'll protect you.
Well, she wants to. He didn't want any of that.
Wouldn't I have theories about that?
Of course you do.
What?
Of course you do. Anyway, NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So what happened on NXT?
Can we just talk about Lars Sullivan, since we're there?
Yeah.
For the love of God, will somebody... And this goes for Nikki Cross, too. I love my little Scottish fruitcake. But can y'all please take the screaming out of the entrances? Because if you're not paying attention and you just hear that scream, it will scare the crap out of you. So can we just, like, not put those in entrances anymore? Please? Just, like, take them out?
Were you scared?
It scared me a little bit. Partially because I wasn't paying attention and I was in the car.
Well, that happened.
And I just hear this scream, and it was like, what the? Yeah. Can we just, like, not? Just not.
Lars Sullivan beat Roderick Strong.
In a good match.
Yes.
So Lars Sullivan is moving on to the four-way match for the number one contendership to the NXT title.
Which will be Lars Sullivan, Killian Dane, Johnny Gargano, and Aleister Black.
A rounded out group.
One way to put it.
A very, very scary group. And Johnny Gargano.
And Johnny Gargano. We had new tag team champions crowned on the show as the
Now they freaking do something.
The Undisputed Era beat Sanity with some help from Adam Cole, baby.
Bastards.
So Adam Cole gets involved in this matchup. The match was fine. It wasn't as spectacular, but it was fine. The finish was really good. Eric Young was really good. Adam Cole gets involved. Then Nikki Cross comes in, dives off the apron, down onto Adam.
Wasn't it?
Huh?
No, it was on Adam Cole.
It was on Adam Cole. She dove down on Adam Cole, which was tremendous. And
he was a little scared.
He was a little scared. And he was screaming to get her out of there, get her out of there.
Holy crap, number 99 for Temple. Oh my God, what are they feeding him?
He's a Killian Dane.
He is Achilles. Oh my God, he's huge. He's like two people. That is a very large man. That would hurt like hell if he hit you. I guess that's the point.
I guess that is the point.
Anyway, by the way, he had a fumble recovery. He's very adorable getting the ball. He's like, oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Plop. Anyway, sorry. Football interjections, because it's not the rack without football.
His name is Freddie Booth Lloyd. He is from Florida. He plays for Temple. He is 6'1", 325 pounds.
He's skipping! It's adorable!
You go, Booth Lloyd.
You go, Booth Lloyd! You go!
You do you.
We're proud of you! Aw, he gets to write his name on the board! Aw, that's awesome!
Hashtag get the ball.
Hashtag get the ball. They don't have a chain. Aw, that's cute. They're not like Miami. They don't have the fancy chain necklace thing, but they have a board. Close enough. Anyway, I'm sorry, Killian Dane.
And Eric Young lost the tag team titles to the Undisputed Era.
Can I just say how adorable Nikki was trying to, like, murder Adam Cole to protect her men's honor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he seemed like he was legit concerned there for a minute. Yeah, see what? See? He's a big guy. He was skipping. It was adorable as hell. Anyway, what was next?
And then we had our main event for the UK title that took this show over 60 minutes. We were like, wait, it's past 9 o'clock. What's going on? You had Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate.
With Trent Seven in the back having heart palpitations because his husbands were fighting each other.
Okay, so this matchup was going on and we were getting close to 9 o'clock. And we're like, this has not been a really great match. It's just been so-so at that point.
Keep in mind that this match went on about 10 minutes before the show was supposed to end.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're only going to do 10 minutes with Dunn and Bate? That's a freaking waste.
That's why I was like, this match is not that great. It's just sort of there. And then it got really good for the next 15 minutes. It was really, really good. Like, the spot where they were selling his hand. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Where with the finger. Ooh. That was tremendous. They were kicking out of the bitter ends and everything like that. Ooh, this was fantastic. They beat the crap out of each other. The hard shots, the punches. This was some true bruiserweight style action. British strong style. It was awesome. Fantastic match by the end. Pete Dunne was like, what can I do to put him away? What can I do? And he finally put him away.
These two can't have a bad match together if they tried. I mean, they just know each other so well that they click. And every time they get in the ring, it's a joy to watch. The fact that they went over and showed the match in its entirety instead of trying to cut it or trying to shorten it was a service to the fans. We thank you very much, because I would have been really pissed if they had cut Bate and Dunne or they had made it some just like 10-minute throwaway. Because we get them so infrequently here in the States that it's like we really should get to see them in all of their glory, which we did. So yeah, great match, great finish, wonderful storytelling. I mean, just they're at the top of their game. And Bate continues to get better. Like, yeah. I would say Tyler has improved quite a bit since last year. And he was good then.
He continues to improve. His gear gets worse.
Yeah, we need to talk to him about his gear choices. But he wasn't wearing I don't think that was his normal gear.
No, it didn't look like normal gear.
I think either the Mustache Mountain gear was dirty, or he had changed it, because he wore his normal gear previously, and I guess because he was doing it solo without Trent, he wore different gear. I don't know. But yeah, the gear choices were unfortunate. Pete needs to work on that singlet, because there was a little butt cheek hanging out. Just a little bit. He needs new gear.
So, that's NXT.
He's dancing! I love this man! Lloyd Booth! He's amazing! So yes, that does it for Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And well, like we said, we have Pop Goes the Rack coming up next week, and that is our New Year's celebration. It will be the last show of 2017 heading into 2018. And well, we want your questions, because we want to have fun next week. So, we're doing Ask the Rack. It's the one time a year or two times a year or whenever the hell we feel like it time of year where you can send in your questions to us. It could be on any topic. We're happy to talk about anything. And, well, you ask it, we answer it. Just remember, you ask a smart-ass question, you're going to get a smart-ass answer. Just saying. So, yeah. Pop Goes the Rack. Send in your questions to all the social medias, which Rock is about to plug.
At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. Well, you can send them at Lynn's Word as well. Yeah, so I guess I should do my plugs now. Saturday night, midnight, it's CB Radio. It's day something of 20 Days of Jobber. I know people are upset, but there's nothing dropped yet. If you go by the timestamp of when we're dropping episodes, we're only 3 hours behind. Think about it like that. We're running
now, damn it! They want them now. Well, why don't you have it ready, Mr. Producer Man?
We haven't recorded it yet. So, wait for 20 Days of Jobber. Which is why nothing is out yet. Yes, check out 20 Days of Jobber. Celebrating the holidays all month long right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll drop one tomorrow. We'll drop two probably tomorrow. And we'll have the live one on CB Radio and then all that fun stuff. And if you keep tweeting me about 20 Days of Jobber, I have phone numbers. I can make phone calls and you will sing.
And he will call you. Just saying.
It's a threat. Anyway, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob, let celebrity dies. There's no Russell Talk Radio on Sunday because it's Christmas Eve, which means there's no Russell Talk Radio on New Year's Eve as well. There's no Raw Post Show because it's Christmas Day. There is WTR Sims on Tuesday, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. We'll be back for Pop Goes the Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can email questions to me at wildtalkradio.com. If you have us on Tumblr, you can tumble us some questions or tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show. Rack Radio Show on all of the Facebooks. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. We're all there. Wherever there's a social, it's Rack Radio Show. I'm at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, L-E-N-S-W-R-D. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Kerwick.net, fightboot.com, and Wrestling Figure Photography, instagram.com/MBG1211. So for Lock, for Rock, I'm LensWard.
For what now?
Lock. Lock, your name is Lock now. For Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward.
Sir Lockin.
Sir Lockin. Yo.
Yo.
You've been listening to Jingle All the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week for Pop Goes the Rack. I'm going to go put the eggnog down. Bye, y'all.
WildTalkRadio.com.